kind of a daunting thing to stand up here and be tasked with. Giving you what you came here to get, and that is the Word of God in its pure, simple form. I don't want to take this opportunity lightly. I don't want to disrespect the opportunity that Pastor Sheldon has given me. I don't want to disrespect you. I don't want to disrespect the history that this place has been through. I hope you'll pray for me as I try to preach tonight. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity we've had to come once again to this church, come once again to this place to worship you. God, I pray that you would help me for the next few minutes. God, I pray that you would touch my voice. I pray that you would keep my thoughts clear. God, I pray that you would help me to say everything that you want me to say and say nothing that you don't. And I pray that you would touch me as I try to preach to these people tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. Psalm chapter 19, if you would stand as we read. Psalm chapter 19, starting in verse number 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Thank you. You may be seated. I have a very simple thrust of the message tonight. You could call it a title, I suppose. But that thrust is, read your Bible. It is literally, I believe, the single most important part of being a Christian, is reading your Bible day after day. Just daily getting into the Word and just soaking yourself in it. Understand something. Reading the Bible cannot not affect you. It will always affect you in some way, depending on how you respond. It can affect you positively if you decide to take it as it is and obey God's word, and it can affect you negatively if you harden your heart toward it. Isaiah 55:11 says, "So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Whenever you read the Bible and whenever you hear the Bible, you walk away from that affected in some way. I could stand here for the next 20 minutes and just read Psalm 119. And who knows what could happen in that time? See, God doesn't need me to get his point across to you. Sure. Now, I'm thankful that he's blessed me to allow me to do this, but he doesn't need me. It's already there in God's word. You just have to open it up and look at it. I'm going to make quite a few absolute statements tonight. Whenever I do, pay attention, because I firmly believe everything that I say. That is an absolute statement tonight. The success of your Christian life depends directly on two things. First of all, how much you read your Bible. Secondly, as God reveals it to you, how much of that you obey. The success of your Christian life depends on two things: how much you read and how much you obey. And as you read, God reveals more and more to you for you to obey or to reject. And as I said earlier, it can affect you positively and negatively, depending on how you respond. But it will always have an effect. And we should read it because of these effects. There's plenty of positive effects listed in the Bible. It's amazing. Look here again at Psalm 19, starting in verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Converting the soul. How many salvation stories do we have in this room tonight? Think about it. Like, honestly, think about it. How many stories do we have of the Bible converting people from what they were into what they are now? It's absolutely amazing. I was fortunate enough to get saved at a very early age. I'm not a very good example of how transformative the Bible can be. But I know that there are many people here tonight that it changed your life completely. Absolutely, completely changed your life. That's what that word convert means. It's almost the idea. It's not like renovating something. It's not like putting a new paint of coat over it. Converting is the idea of completely doing away with what was built previously and then building something completely new in its place. And that's what happened to every single one of us who are saved. The old man, unfortunately, not completely done away with, not until we get to heaven. But there's that new man on the inside of all of us, and it's the Word of God that's done that to us. It was whether we got it through preaching, whether we got it through reading it ourselves, whether we got it through personal witness, it was the Word of God that converted us. It was the Word of God that spoke to us. Keep going down the list there. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Now, I dare say that just about everyone here would say that they don't have as much wisdom as we should, myself included. I've done some ridiculous things that I will not share. But it's the Word of God that makes us wise, that makes us turn away from those foolish things. I mean, we are all simpletons. We started out that way. We were all once 2 years old. We were all once 4 years old. We were all simple people, simple children. And by reading the Word and by taking that in, we can begin to mature in that, mature spiritually and even mature physically, really. Going down the list even still, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Rejoicing the heart. Anytime we're feeling down, anytime that we need something to lift us up, you can turn to the Bible and it'll rejoice your heart. It'll give that back to you. It'll give that joy back to you that you so desperately need. It can help you so much. Down the list even further, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Enlightening the eyes has the idea of opening your eyes in a way. So it's as if you're living your life with your eyes kind of half closed. You can't really see the world as it is. When your eyes are enlightened and your eyes are opened and you can see more things, once again, going back to the thing about wisdom, you can see how the world works together. You can understand the Bible better. You can understand people better. Reading the Bible, I firmly believe, increases your intellect, literally on a physical level. I believe that very firmly. Now, I'm not going to tout myself as an example, but I believe absolutely that that is the case. Going down the list even further, where are we at? The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't get it. But God is true. God is just. He can do no wrong. It's not that he can't do wrong. He will do no wrong. It's a choice for him, in a way. He does not go out of his way to harm us without a much bigger purpose behind it. The judgments of the Lord are right altogether. Verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Now, gold for us, even today, is a very desirable material. But back then, they could only really get gold from other countries, and a very select few countries as well. So it was far more valuable to them in that day, far more valuable. And it should be valuable to us in that way as well. Down the line even further, in keeping of them, there is great reward. I'm reminded of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. It says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." The beginning of that verse carries the idea of doing something continually. Once this book of the law is not departing out of your mouth, but you are meditating on it day and night, once that is going on, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I've come across many success stories of even businessmen that say that reading the Bible changed their life, and it affected their business practices, and hence affected how well they did, how successful they were. And we don't even have to think about it in a materialistic standpoint. We can have success in spiritual things as well. Reading the Bible cannot do you wrong if you respond correctly. It will not do you wrong if you respond in obedience. Secondly, we should read it because of its purposes. It has very specific purposes that are given to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Now for doctrine, that word just means teaching. The Bible is profitable for teaching, for learning. It's easy to learn in some sense. Now there are certain parts of it that may be more difficult to grasp as you're starting out. But on the whole, the Bible is incredibly easy to learn and to understand. For reproof, this idea of reproof is sometimes not what we think of it to be. We often think of it to be very similar to a rebuke, that I am somehow angry at you in a way if I am reproving you. However, in the context of this verse, it carries more the idea of showing a better way. Whenever something goes wrong, either intentionally or unintentionally, reproving someone is more about showing them a better way, of proving to them that there is a better way to do things, rather than rebuking them for what they did wrong. Now this next one, for correction, that's the rebuke that we're talking about. And oftentimes we need to be rebuked. Just like the Bible is honey, as described in Psalm chapter 19, it's also a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. Sometimes we need to be broken. It's also a sword. It's also a sword taking out the pieces of our lives that are holding us back. And sometimes we need correction. And then for instruction in righteousness, this carries the idea that they are instructing those that are in the path how to stay in the path. Instruction in righteousness is, if you are, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. If you've bought your first motorcycle and you've been riding for 2 months, let's say, and somehow you haven't had any crashes, so you don't have any experience with that. And I know that's never happened. New rider 2 months obviously has probably many crashes in that time period. And I'm a more experienced motorcyclist. I may be able to instruct you. You haven't messed up. You haven't messed up yet. I may be able to instruct you on how to keep from messing up. And that's this idea here. You're doing well. You are in the right path. But the Bible is instructing you on how to stay in the righteous path. And then finally, I want you to turn to this one. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, Because this one I feel is very important. And I still hear a few pages turning. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The Bible says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We should read the Bible because we are commanded to. Sure, it has many effects for us. It has very good purposes for us. But in this verse, we are commanded to read our Bibles, and to read it to such an extent that off the top of our head, we can answer every man that asks us for a reason of the hope that is in us. For a reason, not an explanation of the hope, for a reason for the hope. We are commanded to understand our Bibles on that level. To be quite honest, I failed at that for many years. I didn't read my Bible as much as I should have. I didn't study my Bible as much as I should have. But God's helped me with that. And I believe that He can help all of us with it. Even as I'm still progressing toward becoming more like Christ, I still need help. I still stumble. I still fall. But I have to do it. Because it would be a sin for me not to. And I don't want to displease my Lord. The Bible can affect you positively, and it can affect you negatively, depending on how you respond to it. Whether you respond in rebellion or if you respond in obedience. And you cannot live a good Christian life until you read your Bible. You cannot do it. I apologize if I seem harsh tonight. That's not my purpose. I don't mean any offense. But this is an incredibly important thing that we need to understand and that we need to take to heart. Because if we don't know our Bible, we can't tell anyone else about it. We can't help another Christian when they're struggling. If we don't understand our own Bible and the scriptures that we claim we hold to till the death, we won't be of use to anyone in this world, whether saved or lost.